You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and radioreverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on radioreverb.com.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening, all. Hello.
Hello. We've got Steve. We've got Tanya's on the show tonight.
Hi,
yeah, Tanya. I just thought I'll pop in and say hello. Oh, my voice sounds a little bit sexy.
It is.
Sexier than normal, Tanya.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Tanya sounds like Barry White.
Oh, I love Barry White. Don't get me going with Barry White. Oh, my goodness. Oh, why did he have to go? I tell you. Anyway.
Hi, everyone. How are you, Sue?
Yes, yeah, feeling a bit frazzled, but no, it's I'm busy and I'm at my best when I'm busy, so keeping that a mischief, obviously, but no. Mm-hmm. What about you, Josh?
I'm all right, yeah, not too bad. Moving forward with my property, as I've been looking, so hopefully it all goes guns a blazing and it's all kind of going forward. So
wonderful.
So it's good news. Yeah, wonderful. So fingers crossed. Yeah. Apart from that, yeah, just plodding along, got over COVID, and took me a while, but moving forward, as we say. And yourself, Stephen?
I am busy. It's been pretty hectic. I've got a big birthday coming up. I've been preparing for that and it's been making me feel very creative. So it's ticking all the boxes. So that's good. Ooh. Yeah.
I know, forward to, yeah.
I know the feeling, Stephen.
Yeah.
And what about you, Tanya? What you been up to, love?
Yeah, I haven't been really well, but I'm getting there slowly, with this COVID, which is going on.
Yeah, the big thing. Downs,
you know, it's just keeping knocking me down, but I will be able to get up and I'm a fighter. Yeah. I know I will get it out of my system.
You will.
You'll get there. I think from my experience, you have good days and bad days, and it just took a little while. You just have to look after yourself and take care, which I know you'll do anyway, but so what's gone on the show? You did a great interview, didn't you, this week, Sue?
Thank you.
We've got someone on the show that actually made history. Well, he's very humble about it, actually. His name's Ollie Brown, and he's a lieutenant, let me get his thingy right. He's a lieutenant commander in the Royal Navy. It's an amazing, he's been diagnosed a couple of years, and I had the pleasure of talking to him and just talking about, obviously, himself living with HIV and being in the forces and what he's done to help make some major changes within our armed forces. Because I didn't know that if you're living with HIV, there is restrictions in the armed forces, and I never knew that. So I really did learn something. And I'm not going to give too much away because I want people to sort of really listen to, and it's a really kind interview. He's very humble, and it was just an amazing interview, and it just gives hope and inspiration for, what we're all trying to do is to fight you know, the absolute stigma that's still around for people living with HIV. So, yeah, I've got that one.
Great. Yeah, and I listened to the interview yesterday. There's a few clicks and that, so just apologies for that. But it's you can still hear it very well. So it's a good interview. It's a great interview. Also, HIV testing week's coming up, isn't it? So on the 7th, so it's the 7th of February.
It is.
Week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I interviewed Philip Ragg, just a quick interview about what they're doing, their plans for that week, and how to get involved and test. So that's on at the end in the community news. Mm-hmm. And also, Stephen, still a bit of community news with you, isn't there?
So I was I got the chance to be at the first ever cabaret night that was arranged by the UK AIDS Memorial, the group that are trying to put that together. So they had a cabaret night a couple of nights ago, which was brilliant. And I've done a video on my YouTube channel, Heart Talks. So it comes out directly after the show tonight. But it was just so good to see people there being strong, being proud, being open, and trying to just bring a memorial to London that we need, that we should have had, but you know, people are there fighting for it, so that's it was a great cause to be supporting.
Oh, that's brilliant. Really good. So should we get on the show?
Yes.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and online. You can also get us on podcasts. We really do have a treat for you tonight, everybody. I have an absolute pleasure in introducing an amazing person. Well, I think he's amazing, and I think you're going to see how amazing this guy is. And his name is, let me get it right, it's Oliver Brown, and he's a lieutenant commander in the Royal Navy. And so I hope you're saluting as I bring him on. And just to let you know, Ollie's been living with HIV for 2 years. So, Ollie, I hope I haven't sort of done your introduction too much. Let me bring you on. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself, Sue?
Yes, not so bad. Have I got that title right? Because I don't want to miss anything out at all.
Yes, yeah. So, Lieutenant Commander in the Royal Navy. I've been in the Royal Navy for just over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Has it always been a passion of yours? Is it something from boyhood, or is it, where did it come from?
So, the military, yes. The Royal Navy was sort of circumstance. I grew up in the Portsmouth area, so the Royal Navy was on the doorstep. And I think the simple way of putting it is I wouldn't change it. I've absolutely loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, do you come from a family of forces and military?
I jokingly say I come from a military-minded mother for the way that she ran
like
the house.
Oh, I like that. That's good enough as far as I'm concerned. Brilliant. Wow. Well,
when you're looking after four kids, you have to have quite a regiment to keep things going.
I'm the
first sort of generation in the military.
Wow. And are you enjoying it? That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I almost say it's cliche, see the world for the Royal Navy. But the reason why I sort of believe see the world is it's not about seeing all of the countries. It's mm-hmm. about that variety of experience that you just can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's so unique about you, Ollie, is not only are you serving in our Royal Navy, but you're serving as living with HIV. Do tell us a bit about that. I'm absolutely intrigued, and so are our listeners.
So your surprise would have been my surprise mm-hmm. when I was before I was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So diagnosed 2 years ago, and it was a shock as an opt-out mm-hmm. test in a hospital, and I didn't even know if I had a job.
Wow.
It took 3 days to work out if I still had a job with HIV in the military. I'll never forget the doctor's reaction, the mm-hmm. HIV doctor's reaction in the hospital when she hit the roof, mm-hmm. when I said, I'm not sure if I have a job. But equally, I knew of no one else in the military with HIV.
Really?
Yes. Had never spoken about it or heard about it in any way. And even to this day, whilst there should be roughly 250 people across the fence, I still only know one other person.
Right. Yeah. So let me understand this. Okay. You're doing a job that you love. You're fulfilling all your dreams by the sounds of things. And now you're diagnosed with HIV. What the heck did you do next after that diagnosed?
So I think I had the same sort of thoughts as anyone when they hear that phrase. What was your last reference about HIV? Mine went as far back as Rent the Musical. So it was that impact on lifestyle, that limited on life expectancy, but that overriding, do I have a job? And that's a shock to process, because actually you think, oh, well, actually HIV in the UK would be protected by law. We can't be discriminated against. But the same protection is the same law that doesn't protect me, because the armed forces are exempt from the Equalities Act on the basis of disability. So I can be discriminated against in certain circumstances, technically. And it's a shock. You don't really think about it. And it's that feeling of, which I think everyone with HIV goes through, being alone and isolated. I didn't speak to anyone else living with HIV for 12 months post-diagnosis. Wow. So I was alone. I almost referred to it as I was the expert in my life. Because you can't have a conversation without teaching everyone about everything, because they need to get up to speed. So quite a turbulent journey. And even when I did find out I had a job, I then still found out I had limitations to how I could do that job.
Right. I'm interested to know, did you go to the Navy? Did you speak to someone? Were you hesitant? Were you scared? Were you in fear for what they may say when you said, I need to tell you, or I want to tell you?
So the more I've spoken to people living with HIV, I've realised that actually probably the first 24 to 48 hours was the strangest for someone living with HIV. Within 48 hours, I'd told probably about 30 people. It's a shock. I still look back and I try to unpick why. Because I almost go to military training. You've got a problem, deal with it, move on. So I had a problem. I've been diagnosed with HIV. What do I need to do? Create my tick list of things I need to do. Right. Tell your family. My dad was out driving with work. My mum was at home. Trying to get a conference call with your parents without telling them why.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because didn't want to tell them separately. So trying to get them on a conference call was entertaining.
Did you manage to do that?
Absolutely. But then I told all of my immediate siblings. I told my immediate workplace because I thought if they know, they can look out for me and they can support me. But that's where the processing ended. Right. I told them, I moved on. And that was all I was doing. I was ticking boxes. And a good friend of mine, we reflected back to the way I delivered it. I might as well have been telling you that I was going to the shops to get a bottle of milk.
Right.
It was that disassociated. And then if you asked a question, I could bombard you with every statistic going. Just don't ask me the question of how it made me feel, because I didn't know the answer.
Ollie, that first 6 months, what was that? I mean, a lot of people ask me the same when I tell them, oh, I've been living with HIV. What was it like in those early months? What were you getting? Can you remember what you were going through in that first 6 months?
Yes, quite clearly. And I'd almost say that stretched out to about 10 months.
Right.
was at a point of status quo of, I knew I was medically okay. I knew I was physically okay. I've ticked that. I've got my medication. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay. Right. That's sorted.
Yes.
I knew what was going on with my job, and I knew the direction it was going. Mm-hmm. And everyone around me knew what was going on. And I was in a busy job, working 12 to 18 hour days, 6 days a week. So I just carried on with life.
Mm-hmm.
But that then got to the point where I say that my mask on life, that image you put on when you walk out the door, mm-hmm. and reality got so stretched that mm-hmm. the tension just broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost control is the best way to sum it up. I was living with HIV, but I hadn't come to terms with living with HIV. And I use the image of when I completely broke down. HIV to me was a ball of string, and it was a tangled ball of string. But more so, I could see the ball of string, but I couldn't even see the start of the strand to start to unravel it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just this massive knotted ball of this existence that's part of me, but I didn't know where to start.
And when did you come to a time where you remember addressing what you were going through? Because we're talking more than HIV, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We are.
So it takes a while, and actually, it's small bits in all different areas. I think the massive milestone is I talked about my HIV to 10 million people.
Okay.
And that,
we're intrigued already what you're talking about here.
I could talk about HIV. I could tell you the legalities, the moral principles and everything about it. And I understood it, but I didn't believe what I was saying until finally I just spoke out completely.
And so when, can you remember the first time you spoke out about HIV and your own HIV status?
Yes. So there's sort of two situations. So there's a network within Defence called the CANDID Network, which is the Chronic Conditions and Disabilities in Defence. An advocacy support group for policy advice and everything there. I was in a call and they were talking about, well, why does no one know about the network, et cetera, this, that and the other. And it's one of those situations whereby a switch just flicks. And I stood and I was on the virtual call and I just said to them, the issue is everyone here has no issue talking about their condition, be that MS, HIV, cancer, etc. We have no issue. And that's where I just said, I am living and serving with HIV. And that was that first sort of step into the breach. No planning, no thought about it. Just go for it. And that was liberating.
I can imagine.
I think it's the first time you say it to a group of people you don't actually know. In a way, it's easier because their reaction almost doesn't matter to you. But it's almost like letting a child leave the house and go off on their own. And then later I then did a formal talk with that same network to over 100 people in Defence, which was the start of bigger things.
Right. Well, I mean, that must have been incredibly empowering for yourself, Ollie, to feel as though you had that inner whatever to speak out. And do you think that was the beginning of the amazing things you've done since that?
Yes, on the basis, it sounds strange. It all stems from feeling alone and isolated. That was the driving force. But the one thing I always said to myself is, make a difference for one other person.
And
it sounds like it almost sounds like a really easy goal. Well, if you make the goal easy, you'll definitely do it. Well, mm-hmm. not when you're talking about this subject. Making it easier, better for one other person, mm-hmm. that would have been enough for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did. I made that difference for one person. And it is mm-hmm. that small step. But that's not unrealistic, because yeah. you're talking about something that a lot of people aren't comfortable talking about.
Yeah. So a lot happened after that, didn't it? Even up to World AIDS Day, you know, tell us what happened, tell us what you've been up to, and tell us the impact of what you helped to generate.
So when I look back on it, it always makes me smile, because I go back to the beginning conversation with the Terence Higgins Trust, talking about what's going on. I'm going to talk out in defence, etc. These are all the rules. Mm-hmm. And I picked apart all of the policies and gone, well, it doesn't make sense. Why can't you be in an operational environment? Well, they're worried about if you get blown up. Well, HIV is a crap virus. It can't survive being blown up. You're not going to infect anyone. You don't even know your HIV population because we don't test. And there's so many bits that you can pull apart. Mm. So I started the conversation with Terence Higgins Trust. Mm-hmm. And went, well, why not ask why? Challenge it. And still to this day, I remember sitting there saying, this will take 3 to 4 years. That was my pragmatic, realistic expectation. In sort of my typical fashion, I just got on with things, talk to people. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned, that if you speak about HIV, you're putting a spotlight on a subject. Mm-hmm. And I say the phrase, I don't see stigma, I see an opportunity for education. Mm-hmm. Because actually the stigma is unfounded. So you're not going to be facing something that is truly combative. They can't actually attack you for it, because where they're coming from is an uneducated standpoint of historical information. Mm-hmm. So I just continued, I say chipping away, but it was faster than that, to just go through all of these arguments one after another with all of the charity support to convince Defence on World AIDS Day last year to announce basically three things. One, that PrEP was allowed on the 1st of December without exception. Mm-hmm. That's for people serving and people wishing to join. Mm-hmm. And then the latter two was for people living with HIV in the military, as of spring this year, there'll be no restrictions to the way they can operate and the jobs that they can do. Mm-hmm. But more so, and this was sort of the main drive of that 3 to 4 year timeline, was that people living with HIV can join the military as of spring this year.
People are shouting at the radio station saying, they didn't realise that was the case. We didn't realise there was restrictions. And I know I've heard lots, you know, I've spoke to lots of friends when this announced, because there was an announcement made, wasn't there, Ronnie, on the 1st of December, World AIDS Day. And people are you're joking, you're cut. What? I didn't realise. You know, that must be massive. That's got to be a massive move. Surely.
Yes, and we picked it apart to find the NHS website, when it talked about HIV, listed the things you can't do. And actually, the only thing that was limiting in the UK and you can't do was join the military.
Right.
The rest was travel to foreign countries, which obviously we can't control those bits and pieces. And those rules that are well outside of all sorts of boundaries. So actually, why were we artificially creating this barrier? And we recognise the only barrier we create to your choice of life and career in the UK is joining the military. When you look globally, there's only actually one other nation South Africa, which allows people with HIV to join the military. Which they have a very different demographic to us, and it's a very different cultural understanding and background. So we are world leading in that sense of we've, and I almost see myself that we've had a government institution stand up and say HIV is okay. That there is no boundaries, there's no limits.
I mean, I heard things some years ago about, you know, what job you couldn't do and what the advisories are on if you were perhaps in the military or if you're traveling, you know, that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the concerns was, well, you know, if someone, you know, if you went to Afghanistan or what have you, you got, you know, taken prisoner, you wouldn't be able to take your medication and all of that. Let me bring in at this point, injectables. That is going to change things, surely.
Yes, so injectables, absolutely, because it gives that freedom. And actually, for me, I think the mental health aspect of the injectables is the biggest part. That daily reminder of taking a tablet has its impact. But when it comes to that military environment, we're lucky with HIV that there is such a variety of medication for us to take. And the military will always lean towards medications that stay in your system the longest. So that actually, if you are in those situations and you are separated from your medication for whatever reason, actually, you're not at any medical risk. But then add on the injectables piece, that puts it into a very different circumstance because we don't deploy generally for longer than 6 months. So that's three injections. We're still understanding the distribution, et cetera, and all of those pieces, but that will happen in time.
Brilliant. How did you feel when the announcement was made? And where was, remind everybody, where was the announcement made on the 1st of December?
So I knew the announcement was going to be made the evening before, because it went up to the wire with me on the phone, discussing with people, how, what, do we, don't we? And it was released quietly, just as a press release online the day before. The morning of, which defence and the military and HIV, they're almost two worlds that don't meet. And there's me sort of straddling them both. I understood how big this news would be for the HIV community and the wider society. But the military didn't, because actually it's not something that we deal with. I say it's just HIV. Well, no, it's bigger than that. So it was a quiet announcement first thing in the morning, and I was in London in a hotel, and it just sort of snowballed from there. I spoke out on all of my social media channels at, I think it was just before about half nine, and it just took off. I did this expecting a negative reaction to a certain extent. That's life. There's always someone. And I thought an 80-20 split of okay, you could face 20% negativity to all this. What shocked me was it was nowhere near that. I'd barely say it was 1% negativity. Yes, they were horrible things that were said. But they can go hide in their cave and be uneducated still. No one's going to change their mind.
So have you come down since that peak of what had happened in such a short space of time? I mean, how are you now? What's the next? Dare we ask, what is your next move? What is the next move for Ollie?
So the you talk about the come down from it. There was a bit, but I think the problem was it was almost like a gliding trajectory for me, because just as I thought it was all over, someone else wanted to sort of talk about the story, and then it just sort of carried on. And I don't know why. I never really planned the journey in the first place. I didn't expect the 1st of December to be talking on national TV, et cetera, and things like that about HIV. But I've always gone back to that one person mentality.
Sure.
That I spoke out in defence so that one person in the military didn't feel alone. I spoke out wider to challenge the policies in defence so that one person could join. And I still just have that one person attitude. If there's anything that I can do to help anyone in any way, I see everyone's HIV journey is the same. It's just done at a different speed. And I almost say that one person mentality is the best thing. Because yes, I spoke out and had 2.6 million people look on my LinkedIn post, and was on BBC News, Channel 4 News, etc. Well, the goal was one person. And if there's something that you can do anywhere, even if it's not disclosure, just talking about HIV without saying, oh, by the way, I have HIV, will make one other person not feel alone.
And do you know what I'm thinking at this moment, Ollie? I'm thinking of the future generation of our armed forces. Now, we live in a very cosmopolitan world, don't we, Ollie? And everyone has the right to be whatever whom they want to be and whatever lifestyle. I'm thinking perhaps, you know, you've helped to move the change, perhaps for all those other young men and women that are have had whatever dream of a military background or whatever, thinking, and if they were to live with HIV, they may be feeling, well, I've just heard, Ollie, I've just heard these amazing changes. It's not going to stop me. I'm still going to be able to have that, my whatever, you know, like we all have. We have a vision of what our, makes us happy. And I'm sure, I mean, what would you like to say to people listening that may be thinking about the forces, but maybe perhaps, well, I was diagnosed a few years ago. I think I've crossed that off my list. Perhaps I want to do the Army or the Navy or the Air Corps or what have you. What would you say to those people?
I've always found the best thing about the military is we don't care who you are so long as you can do your job. So if you feel you are a capable, enthusiastic, energetic individual, why not? Because actually, we don't care who walks through the door. It's are you capable? Are you willing? Are you competent? Do you have the right mentality? Everything else is irrelevant. And I think that's the most uplifting part of this change in the rules, that it was bigger than HIV. It is about diversity at large. An organization can say we're diverse and inclusive until they're blue in the face. Prove it.
Exactly.
And what better way of proving it than to change a rule, which I hate to say it, is a step ahead of society's mentality. People are still stuck in the 1980s when they think about HIV, generally. They think it's a terrible idea. They don't understand why. So actually having something as large as the military change the rule shows that embracing diversity at what I'd almost say is one of the most unspoken aspects of diversity in UK society at the moment.
Ollie, I want to personally thank you from the HIVR, first of all, for what you've done, and you took, you know, you're very proud, and and you're right. If you can make a change for one person, it feels you've done something, and I believe you've done more change for many, many people. So I want to personally thank you from the HIVR, and I also want to thank you from the HIV community for standing up, shouting out, and helping to bring change. And we really want to, you know, keep tags on you in the nicest possible way, and perhaps come on, perhaps, you know, when is it April, is it things are going to start getting implemented?
Yes, yeah, so spring this year, the yeah. rules come in finally. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, we'd love to have you back on. We'd love to have you back on the show. I hope you see us. Our listeners would love to know and continue to follow you. I mean, can they follow you anywhere? Have you got anything they can?
Yes. So you can find me on sort of Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram are the ones that I'm sort of keeping up date of what's going on and being honest about HIV in all of its aspects, whether it be that mental health,
yes,
stigma, policy ideas. Mm-hmm. I come out with some stupid ideas about HIV, but I have a way of explaining it. if you can't get your head around it, I'll find a way of explaining it. It's how I got to where I was and understanding
sure.
it. So,
sure.
And I just think if you share that, we're all stronger together.
That's brilliant. Thank you again, Ollie. Yeah. Thank you again. And hopefully we'll speak to you very soon. You take care,
yes.
won't you?
Yes. Yes, thank you. You too.
Come aboard, sister.
Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and DAB. It's an amazing interview with Ollie, Sue. That was great.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. I've put a virtual date in the diary for him to come along, because obviously a lot of the new implementations are going to start from April. So he's going to come back on the show and do an update what's going on. So that'd be great to look forward
great.
To.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a bit community news now. You had some community news from London, didn't you, Stephen?
So yeah, I was just talking about the memorial. So there isn't a memorial in London for the people that we lost to HIV/AIDS over the years. So so the fact that this group have now got together and are trying to bring it's not a cheap thing to do. I didn't realize how many millions it is to get a plot on Tottenham Court Road and how much it all costs. So they've done their first fundraiser. And yeah, I did a great video with them, because it was right on my street. You know, it was drag queens. It was West End. It was West End people. It was just such a good night. So, so yeah, that'll be a fun video to watch.
Yeah, you seem very buzzing about that, and I did see some of your pictures, and they were brilliant. So yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Can people get involved then, or can they donate, or how do they do that?
So on my video, Josh, there'll be the links to the AIDS Memorial. But if you just put in UK AIDS Memorial into Google, then bring up. There's a QR code, and you just scan it and you can donate, whether it's £5, whether it's £50, whatever it might be. Every little bit helps.
It's a good cause, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're tell the listeners your Heart Talks, how do they get this YouTube channel, isn't it?
So Heart Talks is my YouTube channel, and you can either go onto YouTube and type in Heart Talks, or type Heart Talks into Google, and then put Stephen after it, and it'll take you to my page.
Great stuff. So I went to chat to Philip Ragg, who works for Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton, and obviously with HIV testing week coming up on the 7th of February this year, for a week, I just asked him what was going on at Terence Higgins Trust. So this is what he said.
We've got some community news now. We're coming up to HIV testing week, which starts on the 7th of Feb, and I'm here at Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton with Philip Ragg. How are you doing, Philip?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad, yes. Good. Keep going, as we have to do. So what's your role at Terence Higgins Trust?
So I started at Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton during lockdown one, and my role is health promotion coordinator. So I coordinate all the kind of outreach work in bars, pubs, clubs, saunas, community settings.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good now that we can do it. There was a long time where we couldn't because no venues were open and we couldn't see people face to face. But now we're back out there and we're doing testing sessions all over.
Which is great, actually. And an important week, actually, HIV testing week coming up, which is...
Yeah, absolutely. Testing week's been going for a number of years, and usually, historically, it was always at the end of November, so leading up to World AIDS Day. Last year, due to lockdowns and all that kind of stuff, we moved it to February, and it was our most successful testing week ever.
Oh, which is great.
Because a happy accident that it coincided with Is a Sin being on Channel 4,
So
the cast were doing lots of social media work, and weren't promoting the programme because they didn't need to, but we're doing lots of informative social media posts about HIV testing and about people accessing home testing kits, because obviously we were in the process of a lockdown then as well.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different, isn't it, than other testing weeks, I suppose?
Historically it used to be, you know, you'd ramp up the kind of testing in venues, you'd do pop-up sessions during the week, but last year none of that could happen, so it was very much the message for people to go online, order home testing kits that they could do at home, or they could do home sampling kits where they took a sample and sent it off and got the result that way.
Yeah. Why is it so important for HIV testing week?
I think it's important to get some messages out there that, one, testing is really quick and easy. I think people probably have quite old-fashioned ideas about how long it takes to get the result, having to wait for an appointment, all that kind of thing, but testing for HIV now is quick and easy. It's a finger prick test, one drop of blood, and you get the result in a few minutes.
Yeah, great. So could you just let our listeners know the details of testing week and how they're going to access?
Absolutely. So testing week starts on the 7th of February, so there'll be loads of events all over the country. It's National HIV Testing Week. So people can go online and order a home testing kit. They can order those by going to test.tht.org.uk.
Well done.
Thank you. but also our outreach team will be out and about around the city that week. So we'll have testing sessions. We mainly do kind of bars and pubs, but we'll be at our bar. We will be at Charles Street. We'll be at both the saunas in Brighton. And also, our clinic on Ship Street is open for appointments now for testing.
Yeah.
So people can just give us a call and book in for a test.
What's the number?
The number is...
Put you on the spot.
01273-764-200. And you can find out more details by following us on Facebook at THT Brighton.
Fabulous. Are you looking for volunteers at the moment at Terence Higgins?
We're always looking for volunteers, yes. So we have outreach volunteers that go out and support the work we do in the community.
Yeah.
So that could be in commercial gay venues, it could be in community settings, like universities, gyms, we're also looking at doing as well. Yeah. So that's really interesting where you get to talk to lots of different people, you get to really explain to people about HIV testing and how quick and easy it is. And we're also looking for volunteers for reception as well here, just to kind of field the calls and to put people in for testing as well.
Well, I'm coming back actually to start doing some volunteering. So.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's what we're sorting out.
Yes. So yeah, really good to talk to you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
So it's good to know, isn't it? It's good to get out there, and I think it's really important that that message gets out, isn't it?
Really.
Yeah. And, you know, and some, you know, that we need to also share some good news. You know, we talk about, you know, all the things that we want to change, but, you know, things are happening. You know, some of the stats come down. Can I just say, Josh, because as from last year up until 2020, we had just over 100,000 people documented living with HIV in the UK. That has gone down to 97 thousand. So you know, some figures are dropping. So and we need to shout about those and let everybody know that, you know, the brilliant work all the HIV communities are pulling together and doing. You know, there are some things happening. You know, we've got the goal of 2030, haven't we? We want to be the first country in the UK to eradicate HIV transmission. And you know what? Wouldn't it be absolutely amazing that, you know, the first country in the world, you know, what a place on the map that would be for us. But
fabulous.
So we thought, you know, January was going to be quite sort of quiet with things going on and things happening, but you know what, there's lots of stuff going to be going on, isn't there, Stephen? You've just mentioned one of them, and with all the stuff, you know, that all the charities are doing, you know, there's major stigma campaigns, you know, all the charities want to get involved in that, you know, because we really need to get on top of this end in HIV transmission. And what I'm, you know, because obviously I go into myself and some amazing people go into our local schools and business and what have you. And what I'm saying to them, you can help us end HIV transmission by doing one single thing, is taking a regular HIV test. Mm, yes, that in itself, just that one thing, you know, and the realizing really is that all we need to do. You can help us do that, you know, and not us, it's for yourself, it's for your generations afterwards, you know. So, you know, test, you know, and you've spoken about test, and what an amazing time to be promoting ending HIV transmission throughout testing week. You know, you're not just testing for yourself, you're making a difference to future. So I think it's going to be quite big this year because of this goal. We want to, you know, the changes are happening, they've started, you know, we just need to complete it.
Great. And so what I was going to say, I remember what I was going to say now. If you want to come on the show, we always say this, don't we? If you want to come on the show, anyone who's listening and who's got a story to tell or any great ideas, you just send us an email, hrvhour@gmail.com. You can go to our Twitter account, and that's hrv_hour. And also, we're on podcasts, which that goes around the world. So, always contact us, it'd be great. We always want to hear from anyone, don't we?
You know, if you've got a story to tell, or if you've got something to share, or if you've got something you'd like to contribute, you know, we're always looking for guest presenters, aren't we, Stephen? You know, anyone that has got any other different ideas how we can do things on the show, perhaps, you know, discussion, aren't we?
Or something that we haven't spoken about that you might think, oh, that's a great thing to talk about. So drop us an idea.
Oh, well, lovely note. Great show. Yes, that was good. Nice to see you all.
Yeah, visually. Lovely to see Tanya there. I know you've been unwell.
Hi, Tanya, yes.
But she said, I can't let my listeners down. I've got to come on. I'm not feeling 100%. I said, I said, you know, just come on the show. Say a few highs. People will understand. We're all going through it, aren't we? So thanks ever so much for doing that tonight. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
we
you,
appreciate guys. You. We appreciate you.
Yes, get well soon. Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you. I'll say see you again, but we'll be back next week.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Good night.
Bye.
Everybody.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.